everybody. How are you doing? Welcome to ICC podcast. This is your host, Daniel Bagheri. I'd like to welcome Mr. Mo Zavian. Mo is a show host for Queer Hearts podcast and is a mental health activist and coach. Hi, Mo. How are you?
Hey, Daniel. How's it going? Nice to see you.
I should also add, Mo is a good friend of mine. So welcome to the show, Mo, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Mo, before we begin, I just want to open the space for you also. If you want to talk a little bit about your show, Queer at Heart, and just a little bit about your background, if you don't mind.
Sure, like where I come from and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have a show called Queer Heart. It's a, you know, I'm the host of a show called Queer Heart, where I interview people on, you know, all sorts of issues that relate to the LGBTQ community. You know, could be anything from mental health to, you know, obviously sexuality, drug use, whatever. Any stigmatized topic, HIV. You know, that's what I bring to the table on the show. As for my background, I'm a Lebanese Canadian. I was born and raised in Canada, and I, you know, identify as a gay male. So there you have it.
Wow, awesome. And so this is really interesting. And I thought, what a great way to connect with you, Mo, especially because, you know, you have this show, you have this podcast, and you probably are well connected with the community and being an activist. You know, you have lots of insight about, you know, common issues that people are facing in the LGBTQ community. And I also wanted to help use this space to also talk a little bit about what Pride is. I mean, many of our, as you know, with the Iranian Canadian community, some of us might be newcomers. They don't know what Pride is. Maybe you could start with that. What is Pride? Especially because we're in the Pride month. Is it a month, week, or, I mean, I call it Pride month.
Mm-hmm. What is Pride? Well, you know, people might look at Pride here and view it as this, you know, massive kind of, you know, 1 week or 3 day party, really, that happens in the city. People from all around the world come to Pride in Toronto. But really, you know, what Pride really is, you know, Pride really started out as a riot. So, you know, really, no matter how explosive, you know, it has commercially become, and nobody having corporations, like, you know, we are still here as the LGBTQ community to fight, really fighting for the right to exist, and not just here, all over the world. You know, we, you know, the fact that there are so many places around the world who will not accept us as a couple, or, you know, we can't choose to get married in a lot of places around the world. You know, we're fighting things like, you know, donating blood. And it wasn't up until recently they changed some of the laws around that. You know, and still, you know, there are problems around that. However, it's these little things that people often forget that this is really what Pride is about. I mean, I'm from Toronto, and I know I can still walk through Toronto with my partner. I can hold my partner's hand, and people are still looking at me, you know, and that is why we have Pride still, is because people are still staring at the simple act of me showing, you know, the littlest bit of affection to my partner. So, although we live in a city that warrants us so much freedom, it is really about kind of the micro things that are still happening around being gay or bisexual, or lesbian or trans, or, you know, so Yeah, this is what Pride is. But if you are a newcomer to the city, I mean, Pride's really a fun place to be as well. So you're celebrating, you know, you're celebrating yourself, because it's something you have to do. And straight people will be like, well, what do you need a Pride for? It's like, well, you know what I mean? We need a Pride because, you know, there's been a lot of stupid comments in the past, like, why can't we have a straight Pride? And I'm sure some parts of the United States do have that now because of this, you know, the gay, the LGBT movement, LGBTQ movement. But like the fact of the matter is there are places where we would get killed. And yeah.
You might say Pride, I don't know, maybe from what I take is, you know, taking pride in who we are, not having to be shy about it or embarrassed by it. Possibly no. And it doesn't matter what gender or sexuality or you come from, right? And you should be happy with who you are.
Yeah, you should be able to walk down the street and be very happy with who you are, no matter what that is. You know, so you should be proud of who you are.
That's right.
Really?
No, of course. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned something and you said, you know, that you pointed to these microaggressions that you still notice, I suppose, on a daily basis, even in a place like Toronto, where it's supposed to be, you know, open and accepting. And, you know, and it's kind of, I guess it might be a double whammy for you, right? Because on one part, you would be Middle Eastern, you would be considered a male Muslim man or Middle Eastern man. Sorry, I didn't mean to assume you're Muslim, but just sorry, coming from that background.
Okay. I'm very, very happy to say that I come from a Muslim background. I like to freak people out a little bit.
That's right. And also being, having, you know, being identifying with the LGBT community, how is that experience for you? How do those two worlds how do those two worlds sit together? And you know, when you talk about microaggression, do you experience both of them? Do you experience it one at a time, or do you even experience you know, ethnic, racial, religious discrimination at the same time as you do experience you know, gender discrimination?
Well, okay, so let's just start with the first question, I guess, is how do you consolidate, how was I able to kind of consolidate my culture, I guess my religion with my sexuality? And, I would say that I couldn't really. There was a part of my life where I absolutely could not consolidate religion. I didn't grow up in a very religious family. I grew up in a very secular Muslim family. Now, you know, my grandparents were religious, yes, and I had my extended family who always told me, like, you know, essentially, you know, I was probably going to go to hell. And so, and I was kind of open to that, you know. I was like, well, you know, if I'm going to hell, I guess that's the way it's going to go down, and or that's where we're going. But, you know, there was also, like, a lot of sadness, right, around that when I was a teenager. There's a lot of sadness around the fact that, you know, what is it about me that God could not accept? And so I knew deep inside that it was very untrue. It had to be untrue, because how are you telling me that this almighty, all-merciful God wasn't going to accept me for simply loving another human being? It just didn't make any sense to me. So, you know, when I moved here to Toronto, you know, roughly about 19 years ago, you know, little did I know, I started meeting a lot of, you know, Middle Easterns who were queer and gay and lesbian. And before you know it, I discovered an all inclusive gender affirming mosque here in Toronto. And you know, I was just blown away by it because I've never heard anything like it. And The mosque is I've been there, I've only been there a few, like a handful of times, but it's a really beautiful experience. And I realized, you know, I start to really become friends with people, like, you know, the co-founder of, I mean, I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I said his name, the co-founder of the mosque is Al-Farouk Paki, and also Lori Silvers. You know, Lori Silvers is one of my dear friends and amazing human beings, activists, authors. And, you know, I started to really learn, you know, I just learned. I didn't become more religious, you know, it's not what happened, but I started to learn how actually more inclusive, how inclusive actually Islam really was. And I, you know, it's not like at this point, I wasn't really trying to look for acceptance necessarily from religion, but it was really nice to know that there were people doing the educating. They were, you know, they were willing to open up a mosque in order to create a safe space, you know, for people who needed a safe space to be themselves. Sure. And you know, this is under, like, you know, really, really harsh circumstances at the beginning, I'm sure, when they opened this mosque up, of like threats and, you know, and all these things that were happening. I can't say that I've ever had any badly terrible experiences here with the Middle Eastern community as far as my sexuality. I think people have been curious. I mean, we are in Toronto, Canada, after all. People have been curious, generally speaking, nothing too hateful. Yeah. Even when I was in Beirut, you know, a few years back, I mean, I can't say I had too many rough experiences, even though, you know, you're under some pretty homophobic circumstances. I had some pretty harsh, I had one harsh experience in Beirut, which I can get into later. But you know, there's a lot of growth. For sure. There's so much room for growth in our community. There's so much conservativeness and the sort of, you know, the apprehension, I guess I could say, to like learn and grow and understand that, you know, it's pretty normal to be gay.
Yeah.
You know, it's And so, yeah, I mean
there is a lot of stigma surrounding specifically Muslim men and like Middle Eastern men and Arab men, right? Mm-hmm. As being somehow, I don't know, inherently hateful and inherently violent or aggressive. How do you respond to that? Is that, I mean, from it seems from your experience, you did, you know, it's really horrible to feel like, you know, oh, well, they say I'm going to go to hell. Therefore, you know, I mean, that's a terrible space to come out from. But it also seems like, you know, you mentioned that you found love, you know, you found a loving, accepting space, even in that mosque, you mentioned, right? So that's very interesting for me. I mean, first of all, it takes quite a bit of bravery on your part, you know, to not to become hateful towards, you know, an entire group of people. You know, we're talking about 2 billion people who consider themselves Muslims, right? But then also, you know, how do you respond to that kind of stigma? I mean, as an Arab man,
Towards Arab men? The stigma towards Arab men being angry?
Oh, Muslim men in general.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just... When your beliefs are being fed to you by straight men,
sure.
Generally speaking, you know, Islam is very male dominated, and which is why I believe that we have learned a lot of the stuff that we've learned about ourselves as Middle Eastern Muslim people. You know, usually comes from a very conservative point of view. When you're seeking, which is what I, you know, I've been doing practically my whole entire life, to find meaning, to find purpose, to find my place within my own community, especially within the Middle Eastern community, you start to get very comfortable with being different, because you are different, and that's all there is to it. You're going to be different. I mean, one in every 10 people, they say, is gay, but, you know, I don't know, maybe even more, but I mean, or, you know, question their sexuality. As far as like being viewed, yeah, it's been being viewed as aggressive or angry as a man. Of course, that's always been a thing I knew at the back of my head. I always knew that people would view me in that way, or they mm-hmm. have viewed me in that way. And it's okay, because mm-hmm. people get to think what they want to think, and people get to sort of form their own views from their own experiences. And, you know, the older you get, the older you realize that, you know, everyone's a victim of their own environment, of the way they grew up. And so the fact of the matter is that, you know, Middle Eastern Muslim men, you know, we all know they're not angry. We all know they're not, you know, any intelligent person would know that they're not angry and aggressive, and that it's a very, you know, kind of a small population. Men, I think men are just angry. Sure. Generally speaking, you know, I think we're taught to be angry. We're taught to become angry, to be angry, to respond in an angry way, to, mm-hmm. you know, the urge to fight, the urge. It's just like, and it's taught.
Sure.
You know, this is taught sure. behavior, right? It's like, you don't learn mm-hmm. to be hateful. You don't learn to be aggressive, you know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say on that.
No, this is great. Mo, do you find the, since we're in Pride Month, I mean, do you find that, do you find acceptance, and do you find equality? Do you find peace also in the LGBT community? Is it a loving space? Is it a space that accepts you as who you are completely? Or is there discrimination and all those kinds of issues as well within the LGBTQ
community? Oh yeah, 100%. There's discrimination in every single community. I mean, as loving as much as I love my community, the LGBTQ community is a big community. You know, it's small, but it's also very big here. It's very, you know, what are we talking about here? The country, the city. If we're talking about the city, you know, it's still a very big community. And yeah, we have a very fractured community. Like any community, there's discrimination, there's hate, there's, you know, issues of non-acceptance towards one another. And, you know, you have the gays hating on the trans people, and the gays maybe not approving of something that lesbians do, or biphobia is a very big thing, you know. It's a fractured community, because just like any community, there's an issue, but there's also safety in it. You know, there's safety okay. in you know, the gay community, the LGBTQ community. There's a lot of safety. You can literally, if you want resources or help to with whatever you're dealing with, I mean, the resources are available, and I express to people to use those resources. You know, if you're new to Toronto, you need comfort, you need acceptance, you want to feel like you belong, there are resources. There's the, you know, there is the 519 on Church Street, you know what I mean, which you can go to and get mostly any of the resources you need. If you're a Muslim needing a gay mosque, you know, you can get sure. in touch with the Al-Tahid Mosque. You know, there's churches here, if you're, you know, gay churches as well, and LGBTQ churches. And so, yes, I think there is comfort in it. I would never have been able to live this life that I live now if I would have stayed in my hometown. There's no way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Toronto is Toronto, it seems like it's been a liberating experience to a degree for you.
Honey, I'm free.
Living now.
I'm free, baby. No, it's Yes, it's been a very liberating experience being here. Mind you, I don't know if I'll be in Toronto for the rest of my, I've been here for 19 years. I don't know if I'll be here for you know, the rest of my life, but it's definitely been a great experience. And, you know, if I could do it again, I would come back to this city again. Sure. You know, I love Toronto, and there's a certain type of, you know, yeah, there's just a certain type of empathy you get from the LGBT community that, you know, that I don't want to say that you don't get anywhere else, but if you're gay or whatever it is you identify as, yeah, there's definitely a place here for support, without a doubt.
That's right. Yeah. And I suppose is the community open to immigrants, especially newcomers, let's say, from our community? You know, when they come to Canada, they might not be so familiar. They might feel a little bit intimidated. What's your advice for them? Especially, like, many of them may be coming from a similar space as you, you know, coming from maybe a conservative background, you know, a Muslim background or whatever. What's your advice for them? Like, how should they approach the community?
There, you know, I would say for anybody who is coming to Toronto seeking a safe space, yeah, mm-hmm. it's available. You know, you just, as I said, the 519 is one of those spaces where you can seek safe spaces for immigrants, newcomers. There are, you know, there's always, I feel like there is always something going on in the city, whether it's on Church Street or not, that welcomes newcomers. You just got to find it. It's just that people got to find these resources. But I mean, you come into the city and you put your ass onto Church Street, you're going to, you know, you walk your ass through Church Street, you're going to get some, you know, resources, you're going to get help, you're going to feel a sense of welcome. People are pretty nice. People are pretty kind here. It's scary. It's intimidating to be a newcomer in the city. I mean, I've never been necessarily an immigrant in the city, but I have been a newcomer in the sense that I came from two, three hours away. You know, I didn't really spend a lot of time in Toronto. I was pretty new here. It's pretty intimidating. But yeah, it's a safe space. And I think that for anybody coming to Canada, I believe that 519, and there's so many other organizations I could mention that sure. Support newcomers here, really do guide you and support you here. And you're never going to be left alone, really. Mm-hmm. Like when it comes to things like this, you're never left alone here in Toronto. It's tough being new.
Of course.
It's really tough being new. And like, because as much as there is resources, it's also a very hard city. I mean,
that's right.
Toronto's to me is a very hard city. It's a very, you know, it's a cosmopolitan city. It's very speedy. It's very, people are doing their own shit. It's gotten even worse over the years. Everyone's kind of, it's very cliquey. I always call it very cliquey. It's hard. It really is hard. It can be very hard sometimes to make friends here in the city, you know? So there's always groups, Facebook groups. There's always something happening for newcomers and immigrants in the city though, to make them feel safe. I think you have to want it. You know, I think if you're somebody who has that spark in you, to go after things, you're going to be fine in the city. You're going to do really well in the city. You just got to have that spark.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mo, you described yourself as a mental health activist and coach. When a lot of newcomers come to the country, especially, you know, they might find themselves with these conflicting values, you know, or cultural clashes, let's just say. Okay, especially if you're coming from like a Muslim space. If you're a Muslim and you're coming into a secular, I mean, could we call Toronto a secular society? Do you think?
Yes, I think so.
So right. So when they come to this space and they kind of clash with these with this culture, let's say this secular culture, let's say capitalism, these like highly individualistic, highly capitalistic kind of atmosphere, right? It does cause a lot of psychological pain and suffering. Even you might even say it might cause depression, you know, this feeling, that sense of homesickness and not belonging or not being able to fit in. How do you deal with that? I mean, you must have dealt with it yourself at some point.
Yeah. I moved here in Toronto 19 years ago, and my first place was at like Queen and Bathurst. I remember I lived with this one guy at Queen and Bathurst, and I felt so unsafe, like in the city. It's just such a fast-paced city. I didn't really have like maybe two or three friends. Actually, no, that's not true. I had about four or five friends in the city, but really like two or three of them that are really close to me, that were close to me at the time. I was just, can I swear? Am I allowed to swear on this?
It's fine.
I just don't want to say that. Okay, so I was fucked, and I was just there was so much mental turmoil. And, for anybody coming into the city, I wish I would have knew this earlier. You have to just accept. You have to learn how to accept yourself and to love yourself as you are. And that is fucking hard. Because you grow up thinking that you're just wrong. You grow up thinking that you're like a defect, and you're defective. Sure. And like, but in my heart, I knew that the Almighty or whatever, the spirit or the universe or the light or whatever you want to call God or Allah, whatever you want to call this energy that flows through and in around you. I call it physics, but I mean, whatever you want to call it, you have to understand that it's love.
Sure.
And there is nothing about Allah or God just that would ever hate you. It just doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense, And when we're referring to scripture and the Quran and all these things, people take a story and people take these and they translate it into hate and they translate it into something that they want to, that guides them, that they live by. But the fact of the matter is love, God is love. It has to be. And you have to understand that all these things that you believe about yourself and feel about yourself, this is not who you are. These are your thoughts. These are your emotions. Okay. You got to really make peace with this, with this clutter, with this noise. And for anybody who's struggling, understand that what you're missing essentially is connection. And this clutter happening in your brain all the time, all day long, about you being bad or a failure or no good or going to hell, blah, 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 whatever it is, it's just not true. And it's just a narrative that's been going on in your mind for so many, it's conditioning. And you have to unlearn the conditioning, the years of fuckery that you have learned from your family, from your religion, from your leaders, from whatever. You need to learn how to unfuck yourself. And you need to go to therapy. I'm pro therapy, and I'm pro sitting still, get into meditation, whatever that may be for you. If it's Salah, if it's Salat, if it's whatever it is, if it's just understand that the higher being loves you as you are. You are not defective. You are not a bad person for being gay. You are just, your job is to unlearn this crap and get on with your life. And, a therapist can very much help with that. A coach can very much help with that. Just know yourself, understand yourself. Know that all this is just clutter. Mm-hmm. It's just noise. It's not who you are. You're not any of these things. You're pure love. You're pure love and joy, and that's what you're. That's who. That's what you are. That's what you'll always be. That's how you came to be. And so, create network. Create community. You know, try do your best to connect and talk to people and sit with yourself. Enjoy your own company. Enjoy the clutter. You might get to a point where you can sit with yourself.
That's good. So, is this how you would celebrate Pride? To just unclutter yourself? Somehow?
What do you mean?
Well,
I celebrate myself. So I celebrate my, and when I actually, it's funny I'm saying this. When I think about Pride, I do think about, right now, I think about my own experience. Oh my God, I've come such a long way. You know, I was a scared little kid from, you know, a small city. And now I'm this like out, you know, this out semi-flamboyant, like, you know, guy who is literally open to the world, open to my family, my extended family, open to everybody who, you know, you got to know who I am. And I celebrate that. And, you know, it took me many years to like, I was told many times, don't tell my family, don't tell my extended family. And now I just don't give a shit. It's like, it's me. It's who I am. It's my life. I love myself. And like, you know, for being me, essentially, like for being me, essentially, you know, like, but we got to celebrate diversity, you know, that's what Pride's about, celebrating diversity and celebrating how far we've come and celebrating the work that we still have to do and coming together in solidarity to do that work. And it really is, you know, it sounds kind of stupid, but it takes one person at a time, and then it takes you, and then it takes me, and then it takes another person, and everybody, just educating everybody to come together. Who knows, maybe in 100 years we won't even need Pride, I don't know. But like that's how you celebrate Pride. Pride's about diversity, you know. Pride's about celebrating how far we've come and how far we have to go.
You think Pride could also be used as a space to fight against discrimination in all of its manifestation, let's say racism, Islamophobia, and ethnocide, all of that?
100%.
Is that a 100%? Wow. Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Well, it has to be. It has to be. You know, it's a community. Yeah, because it's a community. You know, at this point, yes, it is definitely where we are fighting against racism and Islamophobia and transphobia and whatever it is, because like it's a community that has struggled within, you know, we struggled. And so yes, it's also about intersectionality. So like, you know, yeah, it has to be about racism, anti-racism. It has to be about things, because, you know, as an Arab gay man, there are many, you know, I'm sure, white gay men who look at me like I'm some piece of crap, or have at some point in my life, you know, or look at me as being, you know, they hear, oh my God, like this is Muhammad, like, you know, they have this sort of preconceived idea. So yes, we're dealing with racism. And yes, it is a platform where we are using the platform to fight all these things. 100%. Yeah, it has to be, because we don't have a choice. I mean, gay people are Muslim. You know, gay people are, you know, gay people are Muslim, gay people are Arab, gay people are Iranian, sure, gay people are right. Bisexual, trans people.
Right.
Yeah. Sure. And so, yeah, of course, we, you know, a lot of Muslims want to think that you can't be gay and Muslim, you know, and the fact of the matter is that you can.
Isn't there, it's interesting, you said, yeah, absolutely. So first of all, yes, that's correct. And then secondly, it's interesting you mentioned in the passing, you said, there's a lot of white men in your community who would be racist towards you. Is that a common occurrence? Is it like that kind of racism, is that obvious in your community? Oh, well, not in the LGBTQ community. It's not your community.
Yes. Yeah, it's mine. I just, we all hang out here at my place. This is the only, yeah, this is where Pride happens.
That's right.
Yeah, it happens right here.
That's right.
Yes, VIP access. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it hasn't been ever, like, you know, it's not, you never, okay, so I don't want to get into, like, all these, like, you know, I've never experienced, that's not true. I don't experience like direct racism necessarily, but you understand just the way that the community works. If you just walk down Church Street, you'll notice that it's gotten better. But a lot of events are very white driven and they attract a very white crowd. It's very, you know, very, and it's not just white, it's muscle. It's a white muscle crowd, mask, you know, we're obsessed with masculinity. And essentially, you know, we're obsessed with whiteness. You know, we're obsessed with whiteness. We're obsessed with masculinity. We're obsessed with masculinity. We're obsessed with, you know, and essentially this all stems from a form of self-hatred. You know what I mean? And this is projection. And this is the things that we don't want to deal with. Like, you know, gay men who are super, super masculine and overly masculine. Where does this come from? It comes from a sense of homophobia. You're probably internalized homophobia. Where's transphobia? When I'm being transphobic, where does it come from? It comes from my internalized homophobia of having this fear of, you know, oh my God, are people going to think that I'm going to be trans? Are people going to think that just because I'm gay, I'm going to be trans? Like, people really freak out about this stuff, you know? And it's, you know, it's just an issue. It's an ongoing issue. It's like, no, relax, like, be comfortable with who you are. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of you.
Sure.
Just learn to come to a point to know yourself better. And
that's right.
Yeah.
So now I don't want to be okay. So this is my interpretation of something you said. Now correct me if that's not what you meant, but it seems to me even the LGBT, at some point, you also mentioned that the LGBTQ community is also there. Well, pride itself has become capital, you know, it's become commercialized, in other words, in some point, mm-hmm. right? It's become commercialized. And two, you said, I'd also project a lot of like white male, let's say white centered culture. So these two seem to be an issue to me, anyways. With an issue that's you know, not only big in the LGBTQ community, but also in our society in general. Just that you know, dominant narratives internationally and nationally, domestically, internationally, they tend to be Eurocentric, and they tend to try to force these Eurocentric perspective paradigms, images, onto people who might not be a Western or white or Eurocentric in general.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yes. Well, yeah, it just permeates throughout every community around the world. Yeah, I do agree. I agree. It's definitely like, I mean, if you just look at Pride, it's basically, you know, hijacked by every corporation. You know, I don't know if we're allowed to name a few, but like, it's hijacked by so many corporations, Pfizer, all these banks, you know, that are all of a sudden on board. And then, like, what the fuck does Pfizer have to do with Pride? Well, I don't know. I guess they do sell Viagra. But I mean, you know what I mean?
That's right.
But like, that's right. You know, it just, but you know, still, it's like, it's very conflicting, because it seems like in order to make Pride what it is, in you know, we need these corporations in a way, but then again, it's actually taken us away from the root of what it's really all about. In order to make it what it is, we've needed these corporations, unfortunately. But also it's taken us away from the root of what, you know, Pride is all about, you know, and it's taken us away from remembering that, you know, Pride was really, you know, started by Black trans women, you know, who were essentially fighting for us to exist. So
Black trans women, wow.
Yeah, I mean, we are steering away from, you know, the core of what it is, but I hope to some degree we're coming back to it as well, you know. It's like kind of this like push and pull. And I think that we just can never forget, no matter how big this
that's right.
the institution gets, we can never forget what it's really all about. And
it's always there. That's right. Well, thank you. It's always like a push and pull. Now I know we're running a little bit out of time, but just bringing it up to a close here, me as a self-identifying Muslim man, how do I reach across the aisle to you, Mo, as an LGBTQ community member, Lebanese, you know, how do we promote this dialogue in our communities? How do we bridge this gap of, you know, Islamophobia, transphobia, homophobia? How do we get over that? How do we bypass this? Or do you think we're doing the right thing here?
I think this is really it. This is about, you know, this is it. This is this conversation here, you know, this is how it starts, you know, and you know, it, somebody will be watching this and they'll be like, oh, there's this, like, you know, these two guys talking about pride, and there's this one gay Muslim guy, an Arab Muslim guy talking about pride and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, getting into it and really opening people's minds up, provoking people, because, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to talk about the elephant in the room in order to, you have to disrupt the system. You have to disrupt the narrative in order to create something new. And, you know, in order to create a new neural pathway in the brain, you have to disrupt that conditioning, that narrative that's been going on. Same way with on a bigger scale, we're doing that. We're helping people do that right here, is to disrupt their thoughts, disrupt what they've been thinking. And if people want to, and trust me, it's only the people who want to learn, who have that eagerness to learn, who are going to do it anyways, you know. Sure. And that's it, you know. You can't really force people, you can't force feed people information, and that's okay with me. I don't want to waste my time, you know. There was a point in my life where I wasted my time and a lot of people trying to convince people that I was not a subhuman, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't care anymore what you think about me. You know what I mean? Because you're the one hurting. I mean, I hope that you'll get the help, and I hope that you'll reach out for help, and you'll reach out for understanding and education, and not spend the rest of your life being so ignorant. When you want the information, it's there. You will receive it. But for people who don't want to learn, you can't. I mean, I've gotten tons of messages in my inbox from, you know, white European men, Muslim men from across the world, Muslim men in the city, Christian men who tell me that I'm going to hell and that I can't be who I am and be gay and be Muslim and be gay. And I remember there was this woman from London, England, actually. She messaged me last year. She's a Muslim from London, England. She's a brown woman from London, England. And she said to me, she was literally went off on me and told me how that I was going to be like going to hell, and the Quran says this, Quran says that. And I said, you know, I really understand, but how does a nice looking woman like yourself, a nice looking person, your picture looks beautiful, how is it somebody like you can just hop onto my inbox out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere, not knowing who I am, and tell me that I'm going to go to hell? You don't know who I am. And it was interesting because it really did open up dialogue with her. I really, just by being kind to her, I was actually really kind to her. I really want to like bite her head off is what I really want to do. But I just realized that I need to sort of converse with those people and be like, hey, what's going on? Because all I'm doing is loving another man. That's all I'm doing. Loving somebody of the same gender. Like, that's all I'm doing, you know? So what is it that you're angry about? Yes. You know, don't take your religion all, you can't, you know what? As soon as your religion, you take your religion and it instills hate in you, is probably when you should start thinking about following some other religion or interpreting a religion in a very different way, because it's not meant to be hateful. Islam is not meant to be hateful. It's not meant to be hateful, you know? And so I think that people get carried away, and they also forget that you're not following the religion because you have to. You're following it because it does something good in your life. It brings out the best in you. And as soon as it starts bringing out the hateful part of you, you should probably, I don't know, you should probably really check in with yourself and be like, what the hell's going on?
That's,
you
know, great.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. That's right. Mo, that's been so wonderful. Thank you for coming on. Shukran.
Afwan.
Thank you. We could really use it. And I guess the takeaway message is to, we have to try to cut across all of the discourses, all of the teaching or social learning, and to try to recognize the humanity in one another, whether you're Muslim, brown, Arab, white, or whatnot. That's what I took away from what you just told me.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, because it really doesn't matter who you are. I think that you need to understand that you are loved.
Wonderful. Well,
that's it.
That's a great, you're loved. That's a great final message to leave it on. Thank you for coming on, Mo. Shukran, and we'll see you very
one
soon.
One thing. Thank you. One thing I want to say is, everybody who wants to, yes, is interested in listening to the show, please go to queeratheart.com, and it's also on every platform that's offered, that offers podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, all that. So please go check it out. And thank you so much, Daniel.
Queer at Heart, the podcast. That's right. So if you want to hear more from Mo, please check out his show at Queer at Heart podcast. And where can they find this, Mo?
The podcast is everywhere. It's at queeratheart.com, but it's also on Spotify, iTunes, Google Cast, every single podcasting platform that offers a podcast. And if anybody ever wants to reach out, ever needs resources, help, I'm also on Instagram. I'm mo.zabian on Instagram. And, you know, also, where is my queeratheart podcast@gmail.com. If you ever have any questions for anything or resources, I can do my best to direct you in, you know, to the best places, hopefully, that I know. So to the best
that's
of my
very
knowledge.
Useful. That's very useful for our community to have those resources. And thank you for being here, Mo, and thanks for that information. That's really important. If any of our community member wants to reach out to Mo, please feel free. And we hope maybe we see you next time in our episode, Mo. Thank you for being here.
Inshallah.
Bye-bye. Salaam.